Blog Talk Radio.
Tonight we're going to be having Mary Barrett on tonight. Hello, Mary. How are you doing?
Hi there. How are you, Chris?
I'm doing great. And how are you doing tonight, Amy?
I'm doing great.
Oh,
how are you?
I'm doing good. We're getting drowned here in Tennessee.
Oh, really?
You guys are getting a lot of rain.
Are you there?
Yeah, we're here.
Yeah, it's raining a lot here. How's the weather there?
It rained for 5 minutes today where I am.
Uh-huh. You're in New Orleans, right?
Yes. Yes.
Ah, okay. Here in Tennessee, it's been raining for 2 days now. But, the rain will go somewhere else soon.
Yeah, right?
Yep. At least the lawns will stay there for a little while longer.
So,
do what?
So, Mary, how many readings do you give? Like gallery readings, do you usually give?
Whenever they're set up, Kenya McCoy's been setting up quite a few of them, and. This round is going to start in September in Oklahoma. We have one in, one at yesteryear's diner, and I know I'm going to say this wrong, but it's Chickasaw, or I'm not exactly sure. And then we have a meet and greet on the 20th. The gallery readings on the 19th. On the 21st, we have the Paracon, which is in El Reno, with a gallery reading there. Then on the 22nd, we still have the Paracon going on, but we're going to have a Barnes & Noble book signing and a gallery reading in Norman, Oklahoma. And then there's other ones, but we're having like Fright Nights going on the 3rd of October, the 4th of October, the 6th of October, and I'm not sure. I think there might be another one. And then we also have one in Joplin, Missouri, on the 11th and 12th of October. And then I'm back into Oklahoma until around the 21st, 22nd, and then I'm off to Orlando, where I'm going to have 3 gallery readings at Spooky Empire in Orlando.
Wow. Very exciting. So when you do a reading, how do you go about that? How do you do a reading with someone that requests one?
I just talk to them. I use no tools whatsoever.
Okay.
If we're face-to-face, I talk to them, but if we're on the phone like we are now, I just give them their reading. A lot of people don't realize that phone readings are the same as face-to-face.
Okay.
So saying that they're the same, what is the, isn't there a voice that triggers it, or is it something that just comes to you?
No, it's not really a voice. It's just when they're talking to me, the people that have passed over, if it's a medium reading, the people have passed over, just give me the information. And even with the psychic, without the medium, it just comes to me. I mean, the other day I was on Facebook, and this lady said something to me, and I told her to call me right away. And I did a reading for her. Her mother came through. So, I mean, it just depends.
Okay.
I don't sit down like at a table and lay out tea cards, tarot cards, angel cards, or tea leaves or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
I can just hear the person, see the person, and the information just comes right to me.
Yeah, so it could be anything about them, even a photo. It could just be you.
Exactly. And I have done some photo reads also. It's very interesting the way it comes about.
It must be kind of overwhelming, I would think.
You know what? I shut it off. Don't ask me how. But, well, actually, I can go into a house and look. You know, I can come to your house and talk to you for hours, walk out of your house, and not be able to tell you what you had in your house. I don't pay attention. And so that's how I am with people as far as their energy or anything that's being told to me. Unless it gets really, really important and they push me, then I will tell the person something. Otherwise, I don't invade on the privacy. I try not to anyway. A lot of people think if you, if a psychic medium will look at you, they can tell all your dirty secrets and stuff like that. That's not how it works. So, invade.
Now, can you read someone's mind?
Do I read somebody's mind? Could I? Is that what you mean?
Yeah, can you read a mind, like mine?
Yeah, I can. And I can also tell you what somebody else is doing in a room. Like if I'm reading, whatever, I can tell you if you're, like, for example, this girl called me about her boyfriend, and they were a couple states apart. And I told her, I said, well, he's laying on the couch. He has gray sweats on, and he's watching TV. Well, she called him up, and she said, what are you doing? He said, laying on the couch watching TV. She goes, what are you wearing? And he goes, gray sweats. And she called me up, and she says, oh, my God, you're right. And, you know, this happens. It's funny how it happens, but, yeah, you can read people's minds, but they're thinking, you know.
Wow.
It's really interesting, this whole, the whole thing is interesting because it goes into so many different levels, so many different categories.
Mm-hmm. Now, you said you developed these as a child?
Yeah, I've always had these gifts. I just, you know, never used them because I didn't know what they were. I knew that other people had them because my mother and neighbors and even myself when I got older went to this fortune teller, but I didn't know I was able to do what she does. She used tarot cards and she used tea leaves, and I don't even do that. It just, you know, like I said, comes to me.
Okay. So,
one thing I do want to tell, One thing I do want to tell people is, and I do tell this to everybody, and I really try to kind of get the word out there, be careful who you use, because not all psychics are real. And there's just a lot of scammers and wannabes out there. So if they make a connection with you without you telling them anything, then it's probably pretty good. Like, I don't ask my people much. I will say, what's your first name? I may ask them where they're located. And then I go off and I tell them things. And then I may ask, a simple question like, what's your partner's name or how old you are? But I don't dig. Once a person starts digging for information, cut it off right then and there because they're not real.
That's good advice.
I've had a lot of people call me. One lady who's my client, she called me and said she had talked to another psychic. And he wanted $1,500 to do a spell at the moon, at the full moon. I said, do you know what you just did with that $1,500? She said, yeah, I threw it out the window. So, I mean, it's just ridiculous. You have to be careful who you talk to and make sure that they're really legit. And don't ever give a bunch of money to anybody because that doesn't work. But that's what I try to get out to everybody.
Okay. Now, are you part of a paranormal investigation team where you live?
Not where I live, no. But I am with Paranormal Times out of Oklahoma City in Oklahoma. Okay. With Tanya McCoy. I'm her psychic medium.
All right. So, I mean, when you're not there, do you do, like, remote viewing for her?
Yeah. Sometimes. She'll send me a picture and ask me what I feel or something, I think she more or less does it to make me feel a part of it because I'm not there.
Okay.
But I don't really do that very often, and it's hard to do that. You should really actually be there.
Now, what advice? Now, do you work with, like, kids who have abilities?
Chris, I'm sorry. Can you repeat that?
Do you work with kids who have abilities?
Chris?
Yes.
Hello.
Okay.
Mary.
I can hear both of you now. Chris, what was your question?
Yes. Do you work with kids who have abilities?
Oh, yeah. My grandchildren do.
Okay.
So, yes, I do work with children who have abilities. I also work with a lot of adults who are trying to find out if they have abilities or not.
Now, how do you go about that?
I talk to them. I talk to them,
okay.
And I tell them how they can help themselves. We work together on that. But I also do hypnosis, and that helps somewhat, too. I also do past life regressions, and that helps, too.
Now, when... And you do hypnosis, what do you mean by that? I mean, like what everybody thinks about, making someone do something, or, like, what does that mean, hypnosis?
Okay, and let me give you a little bit of example. You watch TV, right? Amy, you watch TV, right?
Yeah, sometimes.
Okay, have you ever got absorbed into something that you forget everything around you?
Yeah.
I have to do that reading. I read quite a bit.
You're actually hypnotizing yourself.
Huh. That is,
that is really like a type of meditation, which is part, you know, it's like being hypnotized.
So it's more of the sense of concentrating on a fine point of what you're doing, like watching a television show is sort of blocking everything else out.
Basically, yeah, because when I hypnotize, all I do is talk to you. And, you know, I tell you to relax, and we go ahead and we get you relaxed. And once you're relaxed, I start talking to you. I ask you who you were before you were who you are now, and your subconscious starts answering me. As a matter of fact, I have a little example of that on my website. The guy that hypnotized, his name's Michael, and he actually was doing two people. He had told me he was two people. And we also did his kids, and his kids gave me information, and we checked it all out, and it confirmed. They told me who they were before they were who they are now, how old they were when they died, how they died, where they were from, and where they died at. And we checked all that out, and it was confirmed.
Wow.
Right,
so
now,
past life regression is very interesting.
Yeah, I'm a little bit confused by the past life regression. So, all right. So
it takes you back to who you were before you were Chris, before this lifetime. How many past lives have you had,
okay,
if you've had any?
All right. But, you know, I mean, what confuses me, I think on the previous show, you said something about being a female. Like, that kind of confuses me. I thought, like, you would look as the way you were in your former life, or?
No. I have actually got people where I hypnotize the mother, and she had been her daughter's daughter in a past life. The mother was actually the daughter, and the daughter was the mother. And I've had guys who've been girls and girls who've been guys.
That's interesting. That is very interesting.
It is. A lot of people, you know, they may say, oh, that's BS. They don't believe in it. A lot of people don't believe in psychic mediums either. But Michael, for example, I stood in his kitchen with his wife, and I did Reiki on him, which is a healing. And I call it an inside massage because it gets inside. But I stood there with Michael, and I told Michael exactly what was wrong with him. And I said, you've never told your wife, but this is wrong and that is wrong. He says, oh, my God. And then I actually did a seance with them. And I had, like I said, did the past life with him. He says, Mary, he said, I'm 110% believer now. You turned me. Because he's skeptical until I went there. And I stayed with them for a week. It was in Texas. And he was just totally freaked out about the whole thing. So there are a lot of people who say they don't believe, but they do believe. They just don't want to come out and say it. Or after I show them what's happened, they do believe. Have either one of you ever been hypnotized?
No.
No. The last time I was near a hypnotist, it was a sort of an entertainment thing, and they weren't doing people under 21 at that point, and I was, I think, 16, so I didn't get to be hypnotized.
Well, Chris, if you want to be hypnotized, I'm coming to Florida.
Okay.
You don't even know what to think about that, do you, Chris?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I take that back. Like, I know I had the chance to do that. Some psychologist came to my school, my college, and, you know, was doing that or something like that. But I don't know. Like, like, I think it was like where they came out
of the game.
Well,
a long time ago, I went to Webster University down there in Tampa. Well, actually, it was in Lakeland, and I went there for a couple semesters for my master's degree, and they actually was going to bring in a hypnotist to train us to do hypnosis if we wanted to, and a lot of psychologists will use that. it's good to get to the root of things, and that's why when you go ahead and you hypnotize somebody, you really need to know what you're doing. And I have a master's degree in general human services, but right before I switched, I had everything done for my mental health, but I wanted to go for my PhD, so I switched at the last minute. So I have a lot of training in mental health. And now with the hypnosis, I'm trained to handle if something comes up. Where if a person just does the hypnosis or pretend that they are hypnosis and try to hypnotize somebody, let's say a person, Chris, let's say you did some online training for hypnosis and you don't have the background of mental health and somebody freaks out on you, you won't know what to do. And I'm only using you as an example. You should really have some kind of training on how to handle somebody if they have a bad reaction with the hypnosis. But it's really fun to do.
That's something you really
say
don't
that.
Think about.
Yeah. Now.
What did you say, Amy?
I said it's something you really don't think about when it comes to hypnosis of somebody dealing with it badly, like they say with drugs, like a bad trip. You know, it can
be bad.
And
but
it's really interesting
it's
that you say that having that training helps. It's not something I would have thought about with a hypnotist at all.
Why?
Yeah.
I always saw hypnotism as a form of entertainment because I've never seen it done seriously. I think you're one of the first people I know who I've known to say, I'm a hypnotist and I do it for, you know, past life regression or, you know, for other purposes that are serious, not just for pure entertainment.
Right. And there's an actress out there that does it, for shows kidding around, and when I first started hypnosis, they're like, you're not going to make me go around clucking like a chicken, are you? No, I take it seriously because there's a lot of people out there that really need hypnosis. They need to find out who they were in the past life, or they need to find out what happened in their childhood that has upset them and why they are afraid of something, or, they may have been abused and they need to know, or they want to go back and confront them and they can't confront the person that abused them, but you can take them back. I mean, it's really serious business. You've got to take it seriously. And I remember one time I was a kid and I decided I wanted to hypnotize this, my mother's friend. So I took, this little chain, and he played along, and then all of a sudden he started chasing me around the house. You know, it's fun when you get something like that, or if you're doing it for entertainment, it's fun. But if you really need something taken care of, you want a real hypnotist, somebody who's going to help you. And in that case, you need training. You can't just go in there and do it. There's a lot of things that you have to be very careful. And I'm a master hypnotist. I'm just not a hypnotist. I'm a master hypnotist.
Okay. Now, hypnosis works on everyone, correct?
Okay. I'm sorry. We have a bad connection. Bob Talk's been acting up lately.
Yeah. I don't know why, though. So now just hypnosis.
Amy, can you hear Chris? Chris?
I take that as a yes.
Okay, I didn't hear you. What was your question?
Does hypnosis work on everyone?
Yes, it does. There's some people there that said that they cannot be hypnotized, but the thing about it is you have to be able to trust that person, have somebody in there with you is what I like. If I was to hypnotize one of you, I would have somebody else that you feel comfortable with to be in there because I want you to feel comfortable, relax. I want you to be able to trust me.
Jack thingy and the black thingy out. Count to 10 and then plug it back in.
What was that?
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
I have no idea. I heard that,
I had
too.
Someone, yeah, I had someone call in to the 918 number.
Hello? Huh. Hello? The connection is horrible, but this is Donna in Oklahoma. I didn't mean to interrupt.
Hi, Donna. How are you?
I'm really good. I've been enjoying you talking about the hypnotist because I believe we want to do some regression, and I'd like for you to explain that a little bit.
Donna? Chris?
Yes?
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay,
I
can hear you now.
Okay, I was just saying that I was enjoying what you were just saying about the hypnotizing, and could you explain the regression therapy a little bit?
Basically, the past life regression is I put you under, and I talk to you, get you relaxed, and then when you're under, I ask you who you were before you were Donna.
Uh-huh.
And I've had people come back and tell me the year is 1800 and something. And they'll describe their life. They'll tell me where they're living and, you know, all this. They'll even tell me how they died.
Wow. That is amazing to me. I can't wait for you to do that.
Hey, Donna, I want to ask you a question. Have you
yes?
ever had a reading with me? Have you ever had a reading with me?
Yes. Yes.
Okay, I know who you are. I don't tell people, so I have you. Could you tell us what your reading was like?
It was amazing, to say the least. Mary, I have never met Mary before. I've never talked to her. And I just actually commented on a response that she gave someone on the Internet, and my mother came through to her that fast. And she was able to just describe right down to what I was wearing, what kind of vehicle I had. There were so many confirmations, and I totally believe anyway, but this was just so amazing to me. My mom's been gone for about 3 years, and she said she'd been trying to get through in other people but had not been able to, and Mary was the one that was able to do this for me.
Now, this was the woman that I was telling you about that I saw on Facebook, and I had no clue who she was, and I told her to call me.
Yes, and it was amazing. You hit everything right on the nose. You described her burial dress and the clothes that I had on, and my mother was telling you this, and there is no way on earth anybody could have known that. So it's very true, folks, and it's a wonderful thing. It gives you a peace you'll never know.
Yeah, Donnie, did I answer your question about the past life regression? I'll show it to you.
I believe you did, hon, and when you come to Oklahoma, we are going to be ready for you.
Yeah, we got 2 more weeks, and I'll be there.
All right. Well, have a good program.
Okay, thank you for calling
in.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Yeah, I'm glad she called in because she was the one that I was talking about earlier.
Yeah. Well, that's really, really, really interesting, huh? So, excuse me, what else? Now, besides the hypnosis and the past life regression, what other services do you offer?
Well, I do life coaching.
Okay.
I also do Reiki. I also do NLP. NLP, I incorporate when I do my hypnosis or because the NLP is like the touching. You touch a certain place. It's an anchor. So I do that. Oh, gosh. Everybody can look on my website and they can read more about me, which is marybarrett.org. And I also have 2 books out there that describes all my experiences and my children and my grandchildren's experiences with the psychic medium also.
Wow. So
What would you describe the most exciting part about your job?
Helping people.
Okay.
You know, when I, it's really funny because the first time that I ever did a gallery reading, a big gallery reading, was in my hometown. Well, around my hometown in that area. And everybody I went to high school with and my relatives and all were going to be there. And I'm like, okay. I went in there. I got in there and I did it. There were so many tears and laughter. After that, I went to Fort Worth, Texas, did the same thing. It was great. Went down the Spooky Empire, a couple, it was like 150, maybe 200 people, and it kept getting bigger. I did three galleries there. And it's really great. Like, I had a kid up there, and I called him up. I said, come up here in the front. I looked at his ear. I said, oh, your ear's pierced. I said, your grandmother's here. She wanted to see your ears pierced. Then she said, pick up your shirt. Let's see your belly. She wants to see if you have a belly ring. Nope, no belly ring. And he burst out laughing. I felt sorry for him. He's like, well, that's my, you know, that definitely is my grandmother. You know, and here he is, 15, 16 years old. He was so great. He went along with it. Then there was, and I always tell everybody, and I hope the people from Oklahoma is still listening, because I tell everybody in my gallery, if you don't want somebody to know something, you've got to leave now, because I never know what's coming out of my mouth. One guy, I called him on the floor at Spooky Empire, and I told him that, I said, your grandfather's here. He says he loves you. He really likes your girlfriend, too. He wants to know when you're going to pop the question. What are you waiting for? And the guy whispers to me, I don't have a ring. And I whispered back, your grandfather said you don't need a ring. So, you know, we were talking back and forth, and I started walking away. He grabbed my mic, he got down on his knee, and he proposed to his girlfriend right there in front of everybody.
That is so
sweet.
And I've had where people have come through, and everybody's crying, and that was my last Spooky Empire gallery. I had the whole audience. We were all crying, even me. It's fun. Because it helps people, and it could be funny, but it could also be sad, and you're crying along right there with the person because the person they lost, you know, something's dead, and that sets off tears. And I wear my heart on my sleeve, so if you're crying, I'm crying. If you're laughing, I'm laughing. But that's very fulfilling. I really like being able to help everybody. And like I said before, again, the scam artist out there. This isn't really about money. Yeah, you got to make a living, but it's also out there to help the people, to give them the peace that they need. They need peace. They need to know that their loved ones are around them. They need to know that there is life after death. They also need to know that their loved ones aren't hurting anymore. They need to hear. So that's
why
my job in a nutshell.
Why do you think that people, you know, are so, you know, curious as to have closure?
I think that's just being human. I think everybody, you know, pretty much wants closure.
Okay. You know, and
I know my cousin was up here for a visit, and his mom had just died. And I told him something that I didn't even know. And, you know, this guy's over 6 foot and built. He stood there and he did nothing but sob. And another guy, spooky too. He was, oh my God, he was big. And I told him that his mother or his grandmother, I'm not sure which one, was there. And I talked to him and I told him the message and all. And he turned around and he started crying. And his mother was so, I mean, his wife was there and she was so mad at me. Because she thought I was hurting him. And he was just sobbing away. And, you know, I looked at her. I said, why are you so looking so mad at me? I said, you know, I'm just giving him the message he asked for. She wouldn't talk to me. She was very skeptical. But her husband, thanked me afterwards, and he's on my Facebook, and he told me, he says, I want to see you back again. I want a private reading with you, and I'm going back to Spooky, so I'm not sure if he'll be there or not, but it's very rewarding. It really is.
Now, I'm wondering, as rewarding as it is there anything negative that comes with it?
Yeah. One of my friends called me when I first really started doing this professionally. She called me and she says, Mary, I want you to look at my daughter Mary and call me back, tell me what you see. And she hung up on me. And I'm like, okay, well, I called her back. I said, what in the beep beep happened? I knew her daughter was dead. And she's like, what do you mean? I said, is Mary dead? Because that was her name. And she started bawling, and she says, I wouldn't believe it until you told me. She had committed suicide. She shot herself. And
oh, wow.
My friend would not listen to anybody. And then I kind of had the same experience 2 nights ago. It was with a teenager that had committed suicide. And they really upset me when I'm not prepared, you know. And like I said, I wear my heart on my sleeve. So, yeah, it eats me up. It gets me. But I gave both the people closure that they needed. But you want to know something really funny, Amy? My daughter, she's now 16. She kept hearing this guy. Now, we live on 15 acres or more. And she's like, Mom, I've been hearing this guy yell. I don't know who it is. So we're used to this. So I'm like listening. Finally, I heard him. I knew who it was. So I called my friend up, the same friend, and I go, what are you doing? And she's like, what do you mean? I said, what are you doing? I said, Pa has been yelling on my property for 3 days now. She said, I was thinking of committing suicide. So he was trying to get in touch with me to get in touch with her to knock it off. She was just so depressed.
Wow.
That's interesting. Just, wow.
Yeah, and I have, like I said, I have 2 books out there. You can find them on Amazon or you can find them on my website. And it explains a lot about this, you know, a lot of things that I've done and what I've experienced. My grandson one time, he was 2 years old, and he came up here from Florida for a visit. And we went to Elvis Presley, and we went out to Lisa Marie. And this is a quiet kid that never throws any kind of temper tantrums. We said, come on, we have to go. And he threw a major temper tantrum. My daughter stood there, didn't know what to do. So I picked him up, took him down the plane. I put him on the ground, and I said, now knock it off. He said, I'm going home. I'm packing my trees, and I'm moving back up here, and I'm flying. I'm like, yeah, right. 2 weeks later, he was on a plane coming back here. His parents decided they were moving up here and moved within 2 weeks. Him and his mother flew up here while my son-in-law and my son bought their furniture and everything up here.
Wow. So where in Texas, Tennessee, are you located?
I'm right in between Nashville and Memphis on I-40.
Okay, so like near Jackson?
Yeah. Oh, you know the area?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So
I'm the Lexington area. I don't say Lexington.
Okay.
People think Kentucky, but no. And Lexington's next to Jackson.
Okay. Yeah, I know where that is.
I've been through there. It's a very beautiful country.
It is. It's really nice up here. I don't have any regrets moving out of Florida. Sorry.
Yeah, I can't blame you. I can't blame you. I'd rather be in Tennessee than Florida, but, you know.
Well, Florida's nice, too. It's just overpopulated, and that's a tourist state. I'm a I was actually teaching down in Florida in the school, Polk County School District.
Okay.
And would you believe when I was looking for a job, I was told that they would rather hire out-of-state teachers than their own teachers because they want the tourism to come there?
I would see that.
They were hiring a lot of people that were from Illinois and wherever, Minnesota, whatever, rather than... It was ridiculous because we were all trained at USF, University of South Florida, or, you know, wherever. It was hard getting a job there.
Yeah, I could see that. I mean, when I think about it, I would say the majority, I'm not saying, but a lot of the teachers I met here, you know, you have a point there. Are they from New York, New Jersey, Ohio, Illinois? So, I mean, I could kind of see what you're getting. Yeah.
I have a few in the schools around here. I noticed their cars will say Illinois or Ohio.
I would want to be a teacher, but that's just me.
Well, New Orleans is also a tourist area, too. And a lot of people, like I've taught up here, I've actually been an adjunct college professor at the college up here. Tennessee seems to be totally different. They have the teachers that are from here. I've noticed there's a lot of people moving this way, though. But California... I can see New Orleans being in it, Florida, you know, teachers from all over the place.
Yeah.
And you know what?
It's also like they aren't hiring the teachers that live here. They are hiring from out of state. And it's, I know people that have gone to school here and they can't get jobs. They're lucky if they're substituting.
And what does that tell you about the state? That sucks. Because the colleges in Louisiana and Florida train the people, but yet their own school districts don't want their teachers. That's not saying a whole heck of a lot. And I'm an alumni from University of South Florida.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I wouldn't want to be a teacher in Florida, though. That's just personally my opinion, but I don't...
Well, I have taught, I have taught in the grade school. Actually, I was a I've taught in there. I've taught in the private school. I've been a high school teacher. I've been a middle school teacher, and I've been a college professor. And I got to tell you, I prefer the college.
Yeah.
I'd rather the college than I wouldn't even go under anymore. And I homeschool two of my kids. I took my one kid. He was in school, and I went to see his teacher, and he told me, "I'll tell you what." He passes one math question out of the year, and I'll pass him for the whole year. I said, I don't want that kind of stuff for my kid. I don't want him just passing. I pulled his butt out, and that was, oh, God, that was, he's been out of school now 5 years, so and he was in seventh grade when that happened. And my daughter's in 11th grade. She's never been to a public school.
Wow.
I don't, some of the school systems are great, some of them suck. And if you really want to know what the teachers think about your kids, go work at the school as a volunteer, whatever, listen to them in the teacher's room. Or listen to what they may tell you about a student. I have seen some teachers really go off about some students, but I've seen some really good teachers too.
Yeah. Well, I think the problem with Florida is that because of it's hard to like in Florida it's really, really hard to get good teachers that come here because of how much they pay. You know, I mean that's really the problem. I mean the starting pay to be a teacher here is $30,000.
Yeah. Polk County's 24
so, I mean,
I think it's 28.
Yeah, I mean you can't live on that. Like so, I mean, that's kind of, you know.
And it's hard being a teacher because, you know, you got to get kids to do this and you got to get them to do that. And you've got all the interruptions and you've got the parents complaining if you do this, parents complaining if you don't do that. I mean, it's a no-win situation.
Yeah, it's like...
I remember when I was in school, my parents didn't complain to the teachers. No one's parents did. But it's a different generation now. Everybody thinks they can complain and have it done their way, and they don't let the teachers do their jobs. And I think
exactly.
I think there's a little, it's a weird gap. I'm not sure where we kind of lost it, but I remember when I went to school, I loved school, and I had engaging teachers. I mean, I went to a huge high school, 5,000 people in it. You know, there was bound to be people who slipped through the cracks, but it seemed that the teachers that I had were very, yeah. It seemed the teachers that I had were very rewarding. Yes, I...
Go ahead.
Amy, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Right.
Okay, you've got me out here. We had a teacher, she was a short little thing. She would go around and hit us with a ruler. And then we had another teacher one time, he's a science teacher. The parents were way down the hall because the highest grade that got in his class was a 50. Even the honor students, that's the hardest test for. But other than that, we never had any problems. The teachers did their job, and parents let them alone.
Yeah, well, you know, I was educated here in the great state of Florida, so, I mean, I mean, I'm sure it's no different than Polk County, but, so.
Well, my kids went to Hillsborough County. I have three kids that graduated from Hillsborough, and actually, the teacher that told me about my son, he was from Hillsborough County.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, I mean, I remember taking
that. He was actually from there.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure your children had to take FCATs, right?
To take what?
Those FCAT. Yeah, FCAT.
No, they take the California Achievement Test, which is harder than the FCAT.
Oh, okay. I remember like the FCATs. Like I took those up until 10th grade, and I was like, it's kind of like. I know this is going to sound bad, but it was like, the way they taught for it was kind of strange.
Mm-hmm.
But I remember. Yeah, it was like, You know what? I'll tell you, I know this is, we're getting kind of off topic from the paranormal here, but you know what I thought was the weirdest thing was like, okay, they have FCAT science test, right? Well, some of the questions aren't on it. Are chemistry questions, okay?
Yeah.
But in the state of Florida, we don't require chemistry. So how are you supposed to know those answers if you never took in chemistry or taken chemistry? So that's kind of like, and it's kind of funny too. It's like, yes? Hello?
Yeah,
Chris?
Yeah, can you hear me now?
Yeah.
All right, sorry.
Well,
so
my daughter had to take the HST or
how
whatever.
How are you supposed to go?
Graduate?
The answers to the questions that they don't tell you.
Well, I took the CLASS test, and it had trig on there. I never had it. I couldn't pass it. I went and took the other test, and I passed it the first time. No problem whatsoever.
Yeah. I don't know. It's just, like, weird. It's like, you know, they're going to ask you these chemistry questions, but we don't require chemistry here. It's like, I don't know. It's kind of backwards. I know they got rid of it.
Yeah,
it is. They do something else now. They do something called Common Core.
My daughter did the HST or whatever that is to graduate, and she's smart. She did okay in school. But we are bad test takers. And if she did not pass that test, she would not have been able to walk across the stage. And I know one girl, wasn't my daughter, but another girl, that could not pass the test. She couldn't walk across the stage. Now you go 13 years to school. If you don't pass one test, you can't walk the BS.
Yeah, class, yep. Yep. Yep.
I know, we got totally off the subject of paranormal.
I know, right?
It's training. You're talking about being a hypnotist and having the training for it. If somebody has these abilities and wants to go for the training, how, depending on where they live, how easy is it to pass the courses that they need to do this?
They can find a person who is trained to hypnotize, I mean, to teach it, like I can teach it.
Mm-hmm.
So they can find a problem. I mean, they can find a person, and it'd be no problem. The person has to be qualified, though. They need to be the master hypnotist to be able to do it. Like I'm a master Reiki, I can also teach somebody how to do it. You can do it over the internet as long as you do your homework and you put everything in.
Yeah.
So now in your, I don't know like if you have an office there in Tennessee where you do this, or like if someone lives there and they want to come in and do this, you do there at your house, or you meet them there at their house, or?
It depends on who it is. Like if I know them, fine, I go ahead and do it. If I don't know them, then, you know, it's kind of iffy. Because with all the stuff that's going on, I really would like to meet the person first and see what kind of feeling it is. Like if they're,
yeah,
if they're an okay person, or if they're, you know, I don't want to have somebody come in here and then, you know, try some bull crap. So,
yeah.
Okay.
You have to be very careful nowadays.
Oh, yeah,
yes,
definitely.
I would agree with you. With anything that involves a one-on-one contact, I think there is a certain danger. I mean, even like maybe a psychiatrist that has an office that's out of the way or does it at their home, that would be something I would think would be on the same level. You wouldn't quite know what you're
right.
saying.
That's true. You don't know anymore. It's bad that you can't even trust people anymore for anything. So, you know, you just have to be careful with what you do.
Absolutely, yeah.
But Amy, you need to come up. You're close. You need to come over to Oklahoma to see one of my gallery readings. Come to the Paracon.
Well, I'm getting my car worked on, so when it's running again and not in pieces, I'll come up there. I'll try to get up there.
Okay, we're having the Paracon on the 21st, and I'm going to tell you something. I need my book to know what I'm doing anymore. I was in bed yesterday, and I was typing a Chris on the computer, and I had the time wrong. Chris, you were right. I had marked it right on my book, but I was telling you it was the wrong time. It wasn't. You were right. But I have to have my book in front of me anymore, or I'm lost.
Yeah. I
have
my calendar on my phone, and if I don't have that, nothing happens.
Yeah, I haven't gotten that far yet. I just have a big calendar in front of me, one of those notebook calendars.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
yeah,
guys, it was really great.
Yes, it was.
I hope
yeah,
I answered all your questions.
Do you have any
advice
for maybe people opening up to their own abilities?
Just relax and let them come. If they're going to come, it doesn't hurt to have a purple candle lit around you, but because that's for intuitive. But if they are real, they will come out. Just don't predict something and claim that you're a psychic, because that's not necessarily the truth. Because everybody has intuitive. Everybody's
okay.
Got that gift. It just depends on how strong it is.
Okay. Now, when you were studying psychology at USF.
You know what? I'm sorry, Chris, I can't hear you.
Now, did you ever do anything with kind of like, trying to figure out the word, anything with kind of like psychic development, psychic research at USF when you were there?
Yeah, no, I didn't do any of that.
Okay.
I didn't need to do any of that.
Why? I wasn't sure if you did
I could probably teach classes, yeah. I know USF offers those classes now. I've seen some of that.
Okay. Yeah, I know that campus has gotten really big.
I know. Last year I went to Busch Gardens and I drove past it and it was big.
Yeah, it's grew a lot. Like, I know, they put in some new dorms. Like, I know they've been trying to kind of move from, like, what they were originally, like, commuting there, like, to be more like a, I don't know, like a more of a place where you can actually
That's
go there.
You're hitting me up for money.
Yeah.
Well, I'm always getting email alumni, you know, so it's like,
Oh, man. Yeah. I know that, I think they just built another campus in Lakeland. Yeah, I think they did. Something like that. I don't know. But, you know, what advice would you have for people who want to get into the kind of work you do?
Well, first of all, they have to have the love of people to be able to do it. Second of all, they have to make sure that they have a track record. If they are doing the psychic medium, they have to really make sure. Now, I've had two ministers, and I'm not saying whether it's my opinion or not, but I've had two ministers tell me that if you do not use tools like tarot cards or tea leaves or crystals, if you do not use them and you can do what a psychic medium does, then you are a true prophet. But there are people that can actually read the tarot cards without studying them. But a lot of the tarot readers, they will study the meanings of what the cards are and then can read the cards. Not necessarily reading what's going to happen with you. They're reading what the cards, what cards you have picked.
Okay.
So
well,
if they're going to go around and say that they are a real psychic medium, they have to make sure that they really know what they're doing, because they can hurt somebody.
Definitely. I mean, it's definitely really, really true. If they don't know what they're doing, they could definitely cause some harm to an individual.
Right, because people are really looking for help. And if you go out there and tell them something, it can totally devastate them if it is wrong.
Well, I just want to thank you, Mary, for coming on tonight. You know, I appreciate you coming on, sharing your wonderful knowledge with us tonight. And I hope to have you on again sometime.
Okay, Chris. Well, thanks for having me. You too, Amy. And if you guys are in Oklahoma, I know, Chris, you won't be, but Amy, come on over and see us. And, Chris, I will be at Spooky Empire October 25th through 27th. Come and see me then.
Okay. We'll see what I can do. All right. But thank you for coming on.
All right. Well, thanks for having me, and I'm glad everybody called, and thanks for that. See you guys later.
All right. Have a good one, Mary. Thank you for tuning in to Paralaxis Radio. Join us Friday the 13th at 9 p.m. Eastern Time, 8 p.m. Central Time. Thank you for calling in, guys. Have a good
Thank
one.
Thank you.